listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living. Many years ago, I took a workshop with Lazarus of Concept Synergy that was held in Northern California. Lazarus advised his audience that our intuition would be increasing more and more each year over the coming years. True for everyone, including me and you. So I'm wondering, have you noticed becoming more intuitive in recent years? Even more importantly, have you been able to accept it, work with it, and benefit from this ability? Or have you been pushing it away, wondering if you were losing it or going psychotic? The skeptical psychic, attorney Nancy Dutatre, is our guest on Full Power Living today, talking with me about everything you wanted to ask but were afraid to know about psychic intuition. This is Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration of and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, inviting you to join us on our chat on emotionalpro.com and also on blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. We have a toll-free number, 800-630-7858. 800-630-7858. Now, known as the skeptical psychic, Nancy Dutatre is an attorney, a psychic, and a paranormal detective whose new book, Psychic Intuition, Everything You Ever Wanted to Ask But Were Afraid to Know, lays out a profound, groundbreaking perspective on intuition. It's based on her own decades-long experience, as well as on the latest research in neuroscience, psychology, and linguistics, and has a lot of research that I've not run into before. She learned and now teaches that psychic ability is a natural, trainable skill. You can find her on theskepticalpsychic.com. Nancy Dutatre, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that introduction.
Great. Well, you say in your book that intuition is nothing more than a reorganization of existing information. But when we put the word psychic in front of intuition, we've got another beast. And so I think it's a good place to start in asking you, what is it that we're talking about when we talk about psychic intuition?
Well, it's kind of imagine, you know, color charts for color blindness. Are you familiar with those?
Yes.
Where it'll have, you know, a bunch of red dots and green dots. And if you're colorblind, you're not going to be able to see, say, that there's a number, I don't know, like a number 5 made out of green dots only on a red dot background. You're just going to see a bunch of dots. But if you are not colorblind, you're going to clearly see that image. And I think it's very much the way that I would explain looking at the same reality, but with the ability to see psychically. You're looking at the same dots, but you're perceiving them, you're sort of connecting them differently than you would otherwise.
And as you explain and go over so thoroughly in your book, when we say see psychically, that could be hear, feel, see, smell, taste. There are lots of different ways to see psychically.
I wouldn't call it see psychically because already to be able to see psychically a word is a word that is so, it's got all the wrong connotations attached to it because when you're seeing clairvoyantly, it's a visual code that your brain is using to convey certain information about the world. You might actually be seeing with your physical eyes. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you're not at all seeing with your physical eyes. You're seeing it on your mental screen or what, you know, normal language we might call our imagination or any of the shades in between. So psychic seeing is a way of seeing something that isn't necessarily something that we would see with our psychic eyes. And, you know, I learned that when I started interviewing some of the top mediums in the world, and I was actually really surprised to discover they would say, well, you know, things like if you're doing a reading, I see your grandfather standing behind you on your right-hand side, and he's wearing a hat and smoking a pipe, and, you know, they do this whole description, and you're thinking, well, I don't see that. You know, how come they're seeing it? And what is that? Is that sort of a crazy hallucination, or are they really seeing something that I just can't see? The answer is that they're sensing something, and their brain has interpreted it into a visual image, and that's how they're getting the data. But they're not necessarily seeing it at all with their physical eyes. A lot of mediums don't see with their physical eyes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an interesting thing. So who has the capacity to exercise psychic intuition? All of us?
Yeah, that's my basic belief. And it comes from mostly my own personal experience, because I grew up in a very academic family. Nobody psychic. We didn't talk about psychic stuff. It didn't exist. My family thought psychiatrists were off the wall, so, you know, psychic would be beyond off the wall. And it just didn't exist. And through, you know, my own process, actually I was working on this book, I ended up sort of inadvertently having to interview the only people who seemed to know anything about intuition or were willing to talk about it, and they were the psychics and the mediums and the medical intuitives and all those kind of people. And I realized at a certain point in writing my book that you can't talk about it like other intellectual topics. You have to know it from the inside. So I thought, well, let me see if I can sort of understand this. So I actually was apprenticed to a very well-known psychic detective for about 10 years, and also a number of mediums and medical intuitives. So I trained, and I discovered in the course of this, I think I was more surprised than anybody, I actually have an ability. And I argued with all of my teachers all the time. It's luck, it's coincidence, it's a guess, it's probability. You know, I tried every way that I could try all the time to dismiss what I got. And what was interesting was that I kept getting stuff. And at a certain point, I really think you have to be stupid if you don't open up your brain and say, there's something else operating here. And then you got to really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured if I can do this, anybody can do this. And that's, I do absolutely believe that. I mean, some people will always be better. Some people have more native ability than others. But everybody can do it if they have the discipline and the desire.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that interests me is how it is that we lose contact with it. I raised two children as a single parent, and they're both now adults. And they had what one of them now calls spidey senses. And I valued those abilities in them so that now as adults, they still have access to those spidey senses. And I note that you say that we cease to experience sensory phenomena with our sensing mind, and slowly or however, whatever speed we go, we start replacing it with our thinking mind. And that's how we get away from our abilities, our native abilities. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. You got that 100% right. And there's usually a window of time with young children, usually between the ages around 3 to 6, where they're able to communicate these unusual skills and abilities before they lose them. Because usually by about the age of 6, and by the way, that corresponds with the age when you go into school and you start having to learn how to communicate logically, rationally, and sequentially, all of that is going to really kill this skill. And by the way, that little window of opportunity is also the same time when people have the best ability to learn a second language, when it's said that we all have the ability for perfect pitch. And there are a number of other skills that kind of blossom out and then quickly evaporate if we don't use them during that little window of time.
Well, that's an interesting lumping together. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk more about psychic intuition. We're talking today with the skeptical psychic, attorney Nancy Dutetra, who is author of Psychic Intuition. Do you know the difference between psychic and psychotic? You can find out next on Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. We're back here on Full Power Living with Nancy Dutetra, who is host of a regular weekly Friday night radio show called Hot Leads, Cold Cases on CBS and Para-X radios. And she interviews a number of fascinating guests from many different professions on that show. Now, Nancy, I want to go back to the experience we just had with our caller, Alexander. I don't know, Alexander, if you're still listening to this, but my own reaction was that Alexander was not particularly happy with what you had to offer him, that he was looking for something and he couldn't somehow make sense of what it was that you were offering him about somebody being over him. And, you know, there's something in here that we need to look at about psychic intuition, because we don't, when we're involved in the psychic or we're using our psychic intuition, we don't always get the messages that we think we're going to get.
Well, I'm really purist about that. I had some images for him, which I didn't share on air. I don't want to, and I don't know that he wants it particularly shared on air. And unless I could get some little bit of feedback from him, I'm not about to share them, and I won't do that. And the other issue is, I mean, there are plenty of, you know, $5 fortune tellers that are out there that will tell you, you know, oh, you know, you're going to make lots of money. You're going to make it next week. You're going to fall in love. Everything that you want to hear. To me, that's not psychic. That's a manipulation, and I won't do that. And I will tell. I don't sugarcoat what I have to say, but I do wait to hear energetically whether people are ready to hear what I have to say. And I think there's a distinction there. I just feel very strongly about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that certainly was an interesting thing. But, you know, a big part of what you cover in your book, Psychic Intuition, is what it takes to assemble messages that you're getting psychically in the first place. Because it isn't like being in the world with our so-called five senses that we're familiar with. We get things that are in code, we get them in different ways, and it takes some work to put together an experience. I know over time certain symbols will mean something to a particular person doing a reading. But so in addition to all of that work of trying to put all the pieces together that are coming to you, then you also are working to have integrity with the person who's looking for your help. That's quite a job.
It's a big job, and thank you for pointing that out. It's for the same reason, for example, I will discourage people very often from, you know, once I've given them a reading and they really like the readings and they want more and more and more, and I discourage them because it's really not the job of the psychic or the medium to be telling somebody what to do with their life. Otherwise, you're really interfering with their life lessons. They should be incorporating some of the data that you're giving them. It's helping to put them on the right pathway for themselves, but they have to learn how to connect. So my higher goal beyond giving information is actually to help people to develop their own intuitive skills and to govern their own lives. So they're not looking to somebody else to sort of spoon feed it. And unfortunately, I think there are too many psychics and mediums out there who are way too happy to spoon feed because it makes them feel good and powerful and important.
So speaking of that, we do have another caller on the line, and I want to ask you this, Nancy. I have a number of questions for you. Would you prefer to work with the questions that we have set up so that you can explain more of what you do and what psychic intuition is about, or do you want to do more of these readings?
Well, I mean, for the reason that I talked about, I'm not a big fan of doing on-air readings.
Okay.
I've certainly done it many times, but I always feel like I'm somehow shortchanging the people that I'm speaking with.
So then what I have to say to our audience members is we really appreciate your calls, but getting an individual psychic reading on today's show is not what we're going to be doing. So I'm going to check in with this caller that we have, and producer Robin, can you check in with our caller and see if she's asking personal questions or she has something about psychic intuition and let me know, and then I'll get back to you on that, Nancy. Okay.
Yep.
Great. It's exciting to be able to ask somebody what you want. So lots of different kinds of people use psychic intuition. About 20 years ago, Nancy, I met my husband, Bob. He's a neurosurgeon, and I became fascinated over time to discover that he used his intuition in operations. And he told me that he often would find things maybe that didn't show up on a scan or an x-ray that needed to be repaired because something told him to look over here or to check that. And lots of different people use those abilities, but maybe don't even... I mean, my husband certainly considers himself to be a scientist and not a psychic. You know?
That's fascinating. I mean, and if... that when I tell people that if they would learn how to develop their psychic intuition, they can apply it to any single field that they're in. I mean, I know I became a better lawyer, strangely, after I did all of my psychic training. So it's because I didn't start out with that I didn't have a trust in my own ability or my own intuition. And that's fantastic. If your husband is doing something on that level as a neurosurgeon, and using his psychic ability, that's the ideal. I mean, that's what I'm really, that's almost like the heart of my message, to get people to combine their skills. But I know that by not using my own intuitive skills, I actually slowed myself down.
Yes. Well, you definitely can. And then there's the other issue about asking for help. My learning is that it's vital that we ask for help. It's often that we miss messages that are available to us, either because we're not open, we don't know how to listen, or we're not asking for help. Is that true?
Let's see. I think that you have to be in a state of open awareness, and so that you're in a state of being able to receive and understand when information is out there. I don't know if that fully answers your question.
Well, I'll take it for now. That's good. Now, the subtitle on your book says, "Everything You Ever Wanted to Ask But Were Afraid to Know," and I want to talk about the whole idea. When I first learned about psychic, I found it frightening. That was many years ago. And I think a lot of people fear psychic. So you say you're afraid to know. Why are we afraid to know about psychic or psychic intuition?
I can tell my own, my husband thinks that I'm incredibly courageous, and he would prefer not to know any of it. You know, there are a lot of people who like to stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 la. And I think it's two primary things that people get frightened of. The first one is spirits, because that when you are dealing with the spirit world, you're dealing with things that are out of control and unknown, and will probably, if you delve into them at all, they're going to change your entire concept of life and death. So that's one thing. The other thing is that people get really frightened of the idea that you could actually read their mind. And people don't like that. People kind of like to be able to feel that they can have their little private thoughts and judgments and nobody can see in. So it's kind of spooky, you know, if somebody could do that.
Well,
and of course that goes with past, present, and future visions on somebody.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that, though in my younger years I was afraid to let people look me in the eye because I was concerned that they could see something in there that I couldn't see, and I didn't think it was good, for sure. So, all right, so let's see. Our caller says she feels she got some spiritual guidance regarding an issue. She'd like your opinion on whether she's hearing things or it's real. Is that a reading or not a reading, Nancy? What do you want to do with it?
It's a reading, but that's fine.
Okay. Then, Tonette, are you on the line?
Yes. Thank
Good.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for taking my call, because something has really happened to me, and I really need your advice or whatever you want to give me.
Okay, tell us in the briefest way that you can what has happened and what you want to know, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Basically, I'm a very religious person. I prayed, got down on my hands and knees and prayed to God. I said, God, show me a sign. If you feel like this man is going to be in my life, he's going to be my husband, he's going to be in my life, I need a sign. By tomorrow morning, I need a sign, either a text message, an email, Facebook message, whatever. You need to show me a sign. And this person has not texted me since August. Yesterday morning, around 8:30 in the morning, this person text messaged me out of the blue and just said, oh, did you buy something from the store? I thought I seen something that you bought or something. Just some weird...
Okay. All right. So we have a little bit of the setup here, Tonette. What's your question for Nancy?
My question is, God showed me a sign. So now what do I do with it?
Thank you. Well, that's very good. Yeah. That's a good question, Nancy. How do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, it sort of goes with what we were just talking about, which is that our thoughts can be read, and we can send thoughts. And it's kind of the same thing of when you think of somebody, you know, for the first time, you haven't thought of them in, like, years, and the telephone rings and it's them. Well, you have sent that vibration out into the universe, and you reached them, and they responded. And obviously he responded, and I believe you've correctly interpreted that as a sign. You asked for a sign. You reached him, and he decided to show you. So if your question is, what do you do now? I mean, well, first thing you do is you respond to the text.
Right, and I did that. So does that mean that definitely this man is going to be in my future?
You know, you posed a very good question to the universe, or if you want to say to God, to the divine entity.
Right.
Or, I mean, some people almost see it as a self-to-self kind of communication. Whatever it is, I would trust it. You asked the question really clearly, and you got a really clear answer. So my feeling is, yes, he's going to be in your life. He heard you, and that's remarkable and wonderful, and he wanted to respond to you.
Wow. Yeah.
All
like
right.
I said, That's really great. I'm glad I had a chance to talk to you.
All right. Tonette,
absolutely.
Thank you so
Good
much
luck.
For thanks for your call.
Thank you.
That's an interesting concept, Nancy. you know, we're talking about psychic intuition. If I ask for something and I get it, then can I trust it? And basically, as I understand your messages, if you got it, yes, you can trust it.
That's what this is all about.
Uh-huh.
Because, and that's why this, you know, what I call psychic intuition, it puts you on the super highway of information. You make better decisions and you can make them faster simply because you structured your questions differently and you're willing to look at cause and effect very, very differently than we normally do. But once you do that, you're just connecting the dots differently. It goes back to that, you know, the colorblind diagram that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
And the image will jump out in unbelievable clarity to you. And I believe she was willing, and she was using her faith in God to ask a question, and she received an answer. And
you know,
absolutely, we can do that in many, many ways. It's all about trust and faith.
You know, what I really liked about your response was that she put out a call to that individual, and number one, he heard her, and number two, he responded. And I think we don't often think about that. We don't think that the other person really was playing a part. It was, we were asking for something, and it was just inexplicable what they did. But not so. We're all connected. We're communicating.
We're all connected. You know, I just had an experience about a week ago. My daughter, I was supposed to get in touch with her, or she was supposed to get in touch with me, actually. I didn't hear from her. And I decided, well, I'm going to put in a call. I left her a message on her cell phone and hung up, and the telephone rang.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, hi. And I said, oh, I guess you just got my message. And she said, well, no, actually, my cell phone was stolen.
Oh, my gosh.
And it can be that quick and that, obvious. That's
mm-hmm.
how this works.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to learn what it feels like and how to trust it. But it is truly amazing.
And how to interpret it. Now, I have a 35-year-old son, and a week or two ago, I was really missing him. And he's very busy. He has a business. He has small children. And I know he's very busy. But I was missing him. And I made note of it for 2 or 3 days running. And on the third day, he called me up and said, Mom, what is going on? Are you okay? I can't get you off my mind.
Oh, nice.
You know, so you know, that's another thing for us to remember, is that when we place our attention on people, they often get our message in one way or another. And of course, as you so well put out in the book, the trick with psychic and with intuition is to be able to rearrange our usual patterns, is to be able to open things up. So number one, that can occur, and number two, so that we can get what it's all about. Like in my son's case, his interpretation was that there was something wrong with me, whereas the message was, I miss you. You know?
Right, but the connection was absolutely there, a very deep connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's been one of the nice things about having him as my little boy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now, you spend quite I never have gotten the kinds of things that you talk about in this book, Nancy. You know, the how savants are similar to psychics, what's the difference between psychic and psychotic, and all of the information and research that you've put into it. It's really a wonderfully rich book in that way. So let's talk about psychotic versus psychic. People get concerned, don't they, that if they get something on a psychic level, they maybe are crazy?
All the time. I teach this in New York, and I get students that many of them are unbelievably talented. You know, and I've had people who have done 40 years of as a medium. I've got people walk in with no experience, and I have everybody in between. Usually they're people who have had tremendous gifts and abilities that they started to use as kids, and were told by their family and friends to, you know, cut it out, stop it, you're frightening us, you know, you're crazy. You know, they, in other words, they get sort of stomped by this big fear reaction from people right in the beginning because people don't understand what it is that they're seeing. You know, if you can look at, as a little kid, you look at somebody, an adult, and say, oh, I see that you have kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they don't want anybody to know. I mean, that happens all the time to people who I deal with. So the question is, they start to feel crazy.
Right.
And they're really not. So what I wanted to really sort of walk people through is, let's talk about hallucinations. Turns out, according to some studies, 39% of the world's population has experienced some form of hallucination. That's almost half of us. That's an awful lot of people. So then you've got to ask yourself, well, what are hallucinations? What's the difference between being deluded or seeing an actual hallucination? What's real, what's not? And how do... And by the way, you can have hallucinations of taste. I discovered that. Hallucinations, obviously, of sound. That's typical for schizophrenics or visions. What makes a psychic experience different from your run-of-the-mill hallucination is that generally you're accessing a reality that is simply distant in terms of location or time, so that your other five senses can't cross-confirm it. They can't do it yet, but they will. And it all depends. I mean, sometimes, and I give some examples, you know, if you're about to step into the street and a voice inside your head says, step back, like that really suddenly, and so you sort of automatically, knee-jerk thing, you just step back on the curb, and at that second, a car turns and would have killed you had you been in the street. That's a psychic intuition. If you simply heard a voice in your head as you're walking around, you may well be schizophrenic because you have no verification on it.
Mm-hmm. You have a great story about that, about a man who was reporting on negotiations between people in Korea and the West, and all the people in the room, because there were snipers around and so on, they were given orders to stay seated unless given permission to stand up, and this reporter thought somebody was talking to him behind him, and it said, get up, and he got up, and a bullet went right through where his heart would have been had he stayed seated.
Yes, that was, he's actually not a journalist, he was in the Army. And
His
name is Ingo Swan. He's the person who basically created the psychic spy program, or remote viewing, for the U.S. military. And that was one of those similar moments where he literally heard the voice, like, you know, like we're talking. He heard it, and it caused him to stand up, even though pretty much everybody knew that if you stood up that you were going to disrupt incredibly subtle military negotiations and you might risk death yourself. But he stood up, and he would have been killed 2 seconds later had he not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's psychic intuition. You listen to a voice. Now, that voice is actually... I believe it's a form of a self-to-self or a divine-to-self communication. And it's not similar to a schizophrenic voice that you get when you have brain deterioration, where you can't establish meaning on anything. He was able to establish a meaning and then cross-verified it with his other senses, with reality, very quickly after. Sometimes you got to wait, you know, 10 years to get a verification on a psychic vision or something that's been told to you. And until that point, it's going to look like you're a little loopy.
Well, you know, I had an experience like that. I was a single parent for 20 years, and about 15 years into the process, I woke up one morning and I was madly in love, except there was no one in my life. I was still the same single mother that I'd been all that time. And I had been told I would have a third husband by various people I knew who are psychic, but I had no indication. I didn't even date for 10 years, right? But I woke up, I had this wonderful feeling, and I said, whatever, to this person, whatever it is that you need to be doing and learning, get finished with it, because I'm out here waiting for you. But I allowed myself to go ahead and feel in love for 2 years, for two days. And people, they would go, okay, what's his name? What's his name? And I said, well, there isn't anybody there that I know of. Yeah. Well, it turned out with my husband, Bob, that that was exactly the time between when his first wife died and he was available to start dating the woman he married for his second wife. So it was right in that time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you sent out that thought vibration into the universe and, you know, it was received.
Apparently, it was amazing. But I didn't get verification for maybe 5 or 6 or 7 years for that. So that's an illustration of what you're talking about, I think. And boy, that was amazing. He only lived 26 miles from me. And here's something. When I moved to California in 1968, the lady who was my boss at Travelers Aid Society was simultaneously the landlady for my husband and his first wife.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I didn't meet him till 1994, so, but we were that connected right then.
Yeah. Interesting.
So one other thing you say in your book, in many different ways, is that women are more intuitive than men. Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I base that pretty much off of my basic theory, which is that psychic ability is sensory based. And I sort of walk people through the idea of the five senses and what they are and what they're not. And I don't believe in a sixth sense because it's already been shown that we've got possibly as many as 40. And I believe in the next decade or so, we're going to discover that we have literally hundreds. And so, but they get sort of lumped into this grab bag category of sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
But if you accept the fact that psychic ability is sensory related, not necessarily five senses, but sensory related, you then look at women as a group. And obviously there are, you know, men out there who are very intuitive, very, very psychically gifted, but I'm just talking as a group. And women in every single one of the categories of the five physical senses have a greater spectrum of either ability to pick up on electromagnetic frequencies or chemical sensing. So, for example, a newborn girl will hear twice as loudly as a newborn boy. In terms of tasting, there's a group of people called super tasters who have the ability to taste many more tastes than the average person. More of those people are women than men. Same thing. There's a group of most people are. We have three cones in our eyes that give us the colors that we see, mm-hmm. and that's trichromats. There's a group of people called tetrachromats, and these people have four cones. They see a million more colors than the average person, and by far, those people are female. So I mean, and I could go on and on, but in every single one of the categories of the five physical senses, women simply have larger, they have more abilities along this scale of picking up frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So they see and hear and taste and touch more. So what does that mean? That means that women seem to be experiencing stuff that is literally invisible to men. So it kind of looks psychic, or it kind of looks like, ooh, they got this special intuitive thing. I don't believe it's just a psychological, I mean, people talk about it. Yes, I think it's true. Women have to deal, they have to, you know, learn how to be more tuned in to the infants or to manipulate the more powerful males. You can look at it on that level. But I do believe there's a big sensory basis for this.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of wonderful conversations around the dinner table based on that this evening, Nancy. Well, you know, another part of your book that I really found fascinating was about the parallels between autistics and syntheses. I hope that you know, what you're really, the way I understood it anyway, what you're really looking at is that people who are autistic, and you went back to Rain Man, for example, the role that Dustin Hoffman played, they're able to go really deep, do amazing things, usually in one major area, but there's a way in which they're open, they just receive immediately, that is part of what we need to cultivate in order to open to our own psychic intuition. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, you did. And I'm also, what I was trying to do was to help people understand that there is a way to access information that seems impossible by normal human standards, normal quote-unquote, and that, for example, autistic savants is one group of people who they have what's called splinter skills, and they can do usually, you know, one or two things. Sometimes they have, you know, calendar abilities. You give them, you know, a date 10,000 years ago, and they can tell you exactly, you know, what day of the week it was or something like that. They have these unbelievable skills. Some are artistic, some not. But stuff that we can't even imagine. Well, how the heck did you do that? And I do believe that their brain operates in a way that is somewhat similar to a psychic ability, even though you normally don't think autistics are intuitive. In that regard, their processing, their mental processing, I believe, is very intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it operates in a similar way. Same thing with synesthetes. Those are people who, it's as if their senses got crossed over. Some of them can taste a shape, hear a color, see a sound, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And psychics are doing something very, very similar. And we all sort of understand that vibrational imaging is interchangeable. And that's key.
Well, that's really interesting. And the other thing I think that you bring out is that if one person can do it, there is potential for all of us to be able to do it. And again, on a scale, some people do it better than others. But it's more like the information is there. Can we open ourselves to reach it?
Yeah, and I talk about there's Dr. Alan Snyder, who's in Australia, has done research on being able to create a temporary form of savantism in normal people. He does that by a certain type of electromagnetic manipulation of the temporal lobes. And by doing that, wow, all of a sudden people have, you know, amazing, you know, artistic skills or mathematical skills. But as soon as this electromagnetic manipulation is stopped, the skills kind of wear off.
Mm.
What it means is we all have the ability. It's in there.
Now, one of the things that comes up for me is, and we've talked about it here on this show, is that there seem to be an enormous number of children coming to this world who have different abilities now than they had, say, 30 or 50 years ago. They do have access to many of these things. They have incredible talents for writing and art or working with their physical bodies and so forth. Are you aware of this? And if so, do you have a take on it?
Well, you're talking about the Indigo Kids?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, I'm very aware of that. I feel like it's something that I would like to believe in. But people, I think the one person who had suggested that there was an actual DNA change that was going on, I remember trying to contact that person. They had mysteriously disappeared, seemed like off the face of the earth. Couldn't find them. So I don't know that there's a DNA change. It does seem to me that, people have talked about, you know, the new age of awareness, where we're all becoming more intuitive, and the new generations being born, the indigo kids, or they have different names for them, that they are coming in with more and more sort of psychic or intuitive gifts, very strong ones. And that's probably true. I think it's all part of our human evolution.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see some proof.
Okay.
That's the way I am.
Yeah. We had someone, Dr. Janine Talty, on the show who claims to be an indigo child. She's works here in California and also wrote about her experiences of having these different abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know if we have any DNA validation on that. But it's an interesting idea. We all seem to be more interested in opening up psychically, and so at the very least, it seems we'll be encouraging our children to stay more open, whether they bring DNA changes with them or not. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, we went way too far out on the left brain skills and looking for, you know, the materialistic mind, materialistic view of the world and empirical thought. We've gone way too far on that side of the scale, and it's absolutely time for us to swing back on the other side and start using those skills because they really are valid.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you. We have to end the show now, but I want to have you tell us before we stop about how people can get hold of you and what kind of workshops you offer, so that if they want to continue more, we have several people who've been listening on and are very excited to have the opportunity to hear what you have to say. So let's give them more places to go.
Well, thank you. I mean, if you go to my website, which is theskepticalpsychic.com, you've pretty much got all the information you need. Workshops I generally do in the New York City tri-state area, but you know, if somebody wants to talk to me about putting together a workshop someplace else, certainly willing to talk about that. I do give lectures from time to time, usually to university psychology students. I work with paranormal groups. I have a page on my website that's devoted to, it's sort of a bulletin board where people can post their predictions and prophecies. And I try to match them up with, you know, verifications and get feedback for them.
Nice, nice.
But anyway, that's where they could go to find me. The name of my book is Psychic Information, Everything You Always Wanted to Ask But Were Afraid to Know. And that's
okay.
Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and everywhere else.
So, okay, Psychic Intuition, Everything You Ever Wanted to Ask But Were Afraid to Know. And it's so well researched. It's an in-depth look at intuition and psychic intuition, and it brings up so many things in a rational, clear way that demystify this area for us, Nancy. So I really want to thank you for your interest, your involvement, and then your gift to us through your book and the other work that you do. And we didn't even get to talk to you about being a psychic detective, but but perhaps you'll come back and talk with us again.
Sure,
really
you.
Good. I really appreciate you being on Full Power Living today. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
I want to invite you to join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, for Full Power Living. You can listen to our archives at emotionalpro.com. And next week, I'm talking with clinical psychologist Dr. Mary Lamia, who's a return guest. She has a new book called Making Sense of Your Emotions, 9 o'clock Pacific Time. Please join us. Paul and Robin Johnston of Fresh Talk Media are our producers. Thank you, Robin, for your work today. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.